Good morning, everyone. My guest this morning is Dr. Chadi Nabhan. Nabhan? Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, Nabhan, okay. Absolutely.
Nabhan, and we're going to be talking about the cancer journey, understanding diagnosis, treatment, recovery, and prevention. A very interesting book. So let's start out, Doctor, with cancer is so prevalent, it seems, these days, and there's so many different kinds. Is it just that we're recognizing it more, or has it been growing?
Very good question. I think it's probably several reasons why we are noticing such a thing. One is there's a lot of emphasis on screening. In other words, looking at the presence or the possibility of finding cancer in healthy people. As an example, mammograms in population of women, doing PSA for men, and colonoscopies and things of that nature. While obviously screening requires very important dialogue between the primary care physician and the patient, and not every patient gets screened, but certainly that definitely contributes. The other thing is, you know, it's obviously there's probably lots of changes that are happening in the environment, whether it is the exposure to pesticides and herbicides that are being sprayed all over, or even certain other environmental factors. All of this could lead to this. And lastly, I would say that we just have done a better job in detecting it when somebody in the past could have just had the disease and gone unnoticed and then succumbed to it. So lots of these factors contribute to the what you're observing, which is really noticing. Maybe I'll just say one other thing. Is if you go back, let's say, 20 years ago, when somebody, let's say, has cancer, there was no social media, mm-hmm. there was no Facebook, no Twitter, no Instagram. And what you're seeing also, the dissemination of information where people share this information with others. So there is a component of this that maybe there was always a lot of it, but you just didn't know that because nobody was talking about it. And now, you know, you have Facebook pages, support groups, and things of that nature.
You know, the cancer diagnosis is truly a terrifying one. I think when people first hear that, their brain just kind of freezes up. What I like about your book is that it deals with not only just the hard facts, the science, but how can we help the patient through this? How can we as physicians, or how can you as a physician, rather, help them through that journey?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, look, wherever you are, any type of health scare is always terrifying. The most precious thing that we all have is our health. And anytime your health is threatened, you're obviously going to be terrified. I think with cancer, though, that terrifying event is exponentially increased because you get all of these bad thoughts that's it, I'm dying, it's over, all of these things. And these thoughts come in because we're just normal human beings, but also because probably we don't know enough about the disease, about the treatment, about what it is. So I really wanted to write this book with the highest purpose of educating the public. This is written in a storytelling fashion. It is not complex, as you know. It is written in a very simple language because I wanted to reach as many people as possible and say, look, we don't want to get sick. And if we get sick, we don't want to have cancer. But if we have it, let's talk about it. Let's understand the facts. Let's make sure that we minimize the fear through knowledge. The more you know, I think your anxiety subsides a little bit. Your anxiety is at highest level, and your fear at highest level when you just don't know. You have the unknown, right? I mean, it's completely the unknown. So I hope that with this book, I'm really taking this unknown fear factor out, and by knowing more, people are going to realize you're not alone. Let's just move forward and let's figure out what we can do about it.
There are many different types of cancer, as we mentioned in the beginning of the interview, but are there certain things that patients go through that are sort of common to all people's journeys, even though they have different types of cancer?
Yes. You hit the nail on the head, Riley, and that's really the essence of the book. The book does not talk about breast cancer or ovarian cancer or prostate cancer. It talks about cancer as an entity in general. I'll just share a couple of examples. Everybody with cancer has to know what it is. What is just cancer in general as a disease? What do I do when I have to go to my first oncology visit? I hear a lot about clinical trials. What are these? How do I stage my cancer? No matter what the cancer is. No matter what the cancer is, you hopefully have a caregiver or a loved one that is by your side trying to help you. But how do we care for the caregiver? Mm-hmm. You know, caring for the caregiver, all of these things. So yes, all of these are common denominators. I mean, whichever cancer the person has, the first two questions I've always gotten in my practice. Number one, why did I get this? Number two, is my family going to be affected? Mm. And the third one, what are we going to do about and what's the prognosis? It doesn't matter which cancer. And I tackle this head on, saying, doesn't matter which cancer you have. Let's talk about what cancer it is and what the issues that exist out there.
How is it that you decided to go into researching cancer and wanting to really get more for patients with this?
I have to tell you, hopefully the time allows, but I'll try to be very brief because I have to tell you that the first interest in oncology that I had, frankly, was not the science. I was actually truly intrigued by the human interaction. And it goes back to 1995. And I was an intern at the time at Loyola University in Chicago. And as an intern, you're trying to survive. You don't know a whole lot. You're just starting. And I was assigned to the oncology ward unit. It was October of 95. And I recall walking into a patient's room. She was in her late 40s and had ovarian cancer. And I walk in. She had two daughters sitting on the couch in her room. And she had a scarf on her head that just to hide the hair loss that she had. Mm-hmm. And I walk in, and I was just asking her about how her night was, just getting her vital signs and things like that. And she looks at me, and she says, am I going to live until Christmas? Just out of the blue. And I was taken aback. I did not, frankly, know how to respond. I didn't know much about ovarian cancer, and I wasn't really mentally prepared to discuss a conversation like this because my knowledge was very limited at the time. And she totally sensed that. Imagine, she's the patient. Mm-hmm. She's the one who's undergoing therapy. She sensed I was becoming a bit uncomfortable. She eased me up, and she looked at me, and she says, don't worry about answering this, doc. I just look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning and see how you're doing. And I walked out of the room, I couldn't believe it, that this level of human interaction, what patients were craving is that human connection, that the fact somebody out there cares. The first thing that drew me about oncology and cancer care is the relationship that physicians and patients establish, which I believe is out of this world. It doesn't exist in any other specialty. After that, I became more knowledgeable in the science and was really just completely enamored by how we understood why cancer develops, what the science behind it, how we design drugs to target cancer and things like that. But the first thing I will never forget was October 95 when I had this encounter and I walked out of the room, I want to take care of these people for the rest of my life.
That is an amazing story. I'm glad you shared it with us. My guest this morning is Dr. Chadi Nabhan. We're talking about his book, The Cancer Journey. What I love about your book, Doctor, is the fact that it is optimistic. And most people do not look at cancer and have any kind of an optimistic outlook. But you do want to give people hope.
Absolutely. And look, it's always realistic optimism. It's not really optimism out of thin air, right? So I provide statistics. One of the important things that your listeners should be aware of is close to 2 million new cancer patients are diagnosed every year. If you look at the latest American Cancer Society statistics, you will find out that over two-thirds, about 66-70% of these newly diagnosed patients with cancer are still alive at 5 years from their original diagnosis. That is a very important statistic, and I compare that with how things were 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. So we have to really be optimistic. I provide a lot of details about the new therapies, and I really take the reader through how I was just surprised how things were evolving and unfolding in front of my eyes. You know, being part of this entire process just made me realize how much progress we made. Patients will always be afraid, but I think the fear stems for being overwhelmed. You start thinking about what's happening to my family, everything else, and because of the lack of knowledge. And frankly, we're not really, we have Google, we have internet, we have everything at our disposal to find information. But despite that wealth of information, there's still a lot of confusion. And people want someone to separate the signal from noise to them. What is real, what is not real. So I hope this book does this for people who read it.
Dr. Nabdi, do you have a little more time to spend with us? Because I do have a couple more questions, if I can.
Absolutely, would love to.
Okay. One of my questions is, childhood cancer can be very different from adult cancer, and a lot of that has to do with because children have not fully developed yet, and so adult therapies may not work. Do you see that there is more research going on in childhood cancers?
Yes, it is. It's obviously a very emotional topic, and people understand that. And yes, there's a lot of research happening in that. And I can tell you that what is happening also is a lot of research at the intersection between adulthood, teenager, and pediatrics. As an example, let's say somebody is 17 years old and unfortunately gets diagnosed with cancer. Do you treat that individual on an adult-type protocol regimen, on a pediatric regimen? That all led to the emergence of a field called AYA, which stands for adolescents and young adults type of cancers. And there are many researchers out there who spend a lot of time on the AYA clinics where you see these patients who are not in the Medicare age, let's say over 65, but they are younger, and we're trying to develop protocols for them and figure this out. Some of the challenging issues in research with pediatric cancers, it's not common, so it's very difficult to execute clinical trials to detect newer therapies. And of course, as you could imagine, the dosing of treatments become a little bit challenging. Mm-hmm. Involving the parents is very key. And so there are other barriers to do this. But when you look at statistics, a lot of pediatric patients are enrolled in clinical trials in America, and they have done actually very well. And we've made significant strides in treating childhood cancers.
As a researcher for cancer, doctor, do you think that we will find a cure someday and possibly in our lifetime?
We are curing a lot of cancers, and I think that literally my first introduction before Chapter 1, I talk about my encounter with a person on a United flight who was asking me exactly that question. And I explained to him that we cure a lot of cancers. I think that lumping all cancers under one question doesn't do justice to the cancers that we cured, because cancer is just this unnatural overgrowth of cells in our bodies in various organs. And depending where the cells grow, that is labeled as breast cancer or ovarian cancer or lung cancer. So we do cure a lot of cancers, and we still have room to go. I think we have made significant progress in curing more cancers than not, and that's really the key. But I think when you ask that question, it would be always better to decide which cancer we're talking about, because mm-hmm. cancer is not one disease, right? So, for example, brain cancer is not pancreas cancer, is not breast cancer. So everyone is different, and that's why it's difficult to answer the question for cancer as a whole. But I will assure you that the progress that we have made is amazing, and I have so many examples in the book that's going to let the reader realize how much progress we have done.
I think the book is just not only a fascinating look at cancer and how it affects people, but I would highly recommend this book for not only the patient, but their family members and their friends that can help them understand the journey that they're going through and how they can be a part of it as well.
Yeah. It is one of the biggest tips I give people. If there's one thing you could do when you go to this first oncology visit, get somebody with you, mm-hmm. whoever that person is. A partner, a spouse, a friend, a neighbor, a relative, somebody that you want another set of ears to listen when you are there. No matter who you are, you're going to be overwhelmed, because we're human. We're going to be a bit overwhelmed. We may not hear every word. We may just be, you know, just thinking. And I think having that extra set of ears with you, that caregiver, that trusted person is very key. And that individual, hopefully, will also benefit from this book. I've had, the book just came out 2 weeks ago. I had a lot of folks reach out to me and by email and through the website just saying, you know, it's really helping me just understand the process, but also it's like a blend between the science, but also the non-science stuff. I mean, you have to really just think about what you go through, from anxiety to depression. What do I do with my finances? I go through complementary stuff. Do I do massage therapy, pet therapy, music therapy, acupuncture, things like this? That these are the questions that come through the patient's mind. Every patient asks, what do I eat differently? Do I take vitamins? I literally put myself in the patient's shoes, and I went through the entire process.
Well, it's a great book, The Cancer Journey, Understanding Diagnosis, Treatment, Recovery, and Prevention by Dr. Chadi Navhan. And thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
It means a lot to me. Thank you so much for having me.
I hope you have a wonderful day.